Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 19th of March, recording at 10:41 p.m. British Standard Time. Now, because this is the Friday audio, I do take a longer-term view in this broadcast, and I'm also going to concentrate on the oil market and its influence on other asset classes. Now, as you know, I think the oil price is going to go up. You can see the charts, which I've posted on the site tonight, and I've been posting them fairly regularly. And there's a five-year chart, which will show that crude oil is really pressuring the highs that we've seen over the last 4.5 years or so. And it shows rising lows, and it shows a buildup of underlying support in the $25 to $35 range, which this is spot crude NYME, which makes me feel that it's really only a matter of time, and perhaps not that much time, before this does break upwards. Inevitably, it's encountering a little bit of psychological resistance near that high, but I think it's going to break upwards, as I've said on a number of occasions. And this is not just the dollar weakness, because, well, the oil price has risen much more in dollars inevitably than it has in euros over the last year. Have a look at the daily charts that I've put up there, and you'll see a nice orderly upward trend against the euro as well. So what does this actually mean? Well, in terms of investment potential, I do think it is important to have some representation in the oil sector. Now, how you play it, there are a number of different ways, and I had mentioned several funds, and I'll just run through those again very, very quickly. I'd earmarked to buy at least one of those for one of my self-administered pension funds, and I will really do that. Now, oil shares, many investors, and I'm sure a number of you people have some oil shares, but a lot of the majors are just not performing all that well. And then you get the problems that we've seen with Shell on the reserves and so on. So I myself choose not to try to select the shares in this particular sector. It's too specialized. I don't know enough about it. I don't have the time to research all that relative to other people. So that does bring me to a fund. And the fund that I'm most considering is the one that Ian Little had recommended, but I think Martin Spring, in his report that I posted today, says that he had actually mentioned it last September. And it's the Investec Global Strategy Fund. Now, again, that's the Guernsey-based dollar-denominated fund. The code on that is G-U-I-G-L-E-I. Space GU for Guernsey. It does have a front-end load, so you do want to negotiate that down if you buy that fund. Now, the sly way, as long as we don't outsmart ourselves, of doing this is perhaps actually looking at the Investec Global Strategy Fund top 10 holdings, and then looking at the charts of the companies that are in there, and selecting some of the better looking charts. Now, I haven't done that yet, but it's crossed my mind, and I don't think it's a bad idea. And I may do that, assuming that they're actually listed. The fund is run by Howard Flight, formerly of Guinness Flight, and this is his main project. He doesn't need the money, he just likes the field. And he's got lots of experience. Now, a couple of other funds that subscribers who are in the business have highlighted as well. There's something called the Energy Select Sector SPRD Fund. This is U.S. listed. It's code XLE. And then there's also the iShares S&P iShares S&P Global Energy Sector Index, and that's code IXC US. Now, as I say, I do want to have a representation in this area, and the other way that I played it, or the first way, initial way I'm playing it, is that better late than never, I bought July crude oil today. Now, I did that on a spread bet position, and there's they quote a 10-cent spread. I actually paid for the July contract. I paid 35.85. It closed tonight at 35.97, and that's versus 38.08 for the spot price. So in other words, the backwardation right now, which of course works in our favor as long as it holds, is actually over $2. That's not a small consideration. Now, what would it mean if the oil price does move higher? First, as I've said before, I don't think it would move up anywhere near as much as some of the other metals, some of the other industrial commodities, and mainly the metals, which have seen such spectacular gains. It couldn't happen because, as I said before, it would throw the world into a major recession and possibly even a depression if we were to get a move like that, because oil is by far the most important commodity of all. Now, it's way underperformed, as I say, those metals so far this year, but that doesn't mean it can't and isn't likely to go on and perform a little bit better in here right now. And it does conform to my supply inelasticity script for 2004, although there's less supply inelasticity for oil potentially than certainly for the metals. But OPEC is almost certainly going to go ahead with this second cutback, and every other supplier is getting a very, very good price for their oil. And so far, the suppliers have been a little bit more disciplined than they've seen than we've seen in the past. And also, the demand for oil has been moving up steadily as well. So this remains a bullish situation, at least as far as an attractive performing selection of energy shares are concerned, provided the overall market doesn't unravel to a great extent. And I think that's certainly a risk, but I think that it's perhaps not an imminent threat at this stage. But what would be the implications for some of the other markets? Well, you know my view, my big view on global stock markets, and that is that Wall Street is very much in a secular bear market. We have had a technical bull. It was a technical bull of just a fraction over 50% for the S&P 500 index from that October low. I've been saying for quite a while that we've seen by far the best of that rally, and more recently I've been saying that I think we've seen at least the penultimate peak on that rally, although I didn't see factors that would necessarily cause an immediate downward break. But you know, sometimes there aren't catalysts that cause an immediate downward break. The market just falls of its own weight. So my contention in recent weeks is, as you know, has been that the risk-reward factor for equities has deteriorated really rather considerably, and I've been anxious to run lighter there, and I have. I don't think we need to panic out of anything here, but it's more important to be lightning on rallies than it is to be putting new money in the market at this stage, I personally feel. Now, I know there's lots of good news that people are talking about, rising earnings, the growth, and so on, but just go back and read earlier in the week my comment of the day, which cited, if you haven't yet seen it, cited eight factors that markets have to worry about today that they didn't have to worry about a year ago. I won't review those now because I don't have time on this broadcast. But a higher oil price, again, I emphasize that this is the most important commodity in all the world, will be bearish for the global economy. So it depends, of course, how much oil goes up. If it just edges a little bit higher, that's not going to be so bad. But if you get crude breaking through the $40 level, and I think we will see that this year, then that is really going to be the first in a series of potential body blows from the oil price, petroleum prices for stock markets. And so that would be negative. I think it would be even more negative for the bond markets, because the immediate impact of this would be inflationary. And again, it would also be, well, a rising oil price is a tax on consumption and corporate spending. So that would mean less capex, and that would mean less consumer spending. So immediately, analysts would begin to revise downwards some of their earnings forecasts for the future, and also their forecasts for global GDP growth. Now, the inflationary pressure that it would exert would be a negative, as I've said, for bond markets. It probably has no net effect, no significant net effect, I think, on the currencies or on the actual commodities, except it may just interest more people in the commodity markets, which have been doing very well in their own right for the most part, certainly the industrial sector. Okay, so where do we actually go from here in terms of the global stock markets? And today we had mixed performance in Asia. That's very much been the norm for Asia in recent weeks. Malaysia is the standout in terms of short-term relative strength. It's edged further into new high ground. I think it's the only market that's actually doing that. And disturbingly, previous leaders such as Thailand and India are not doing all that well. Among other previous leaders that are important, the NASDAQ index, obviously, as you know, as I've been mentioning daily, is not doing well here. It's been leading on the downside. Now, we did get a bit of steadying against that background of short-term oversold condition earlier in the week, and markets steadied, I think, on Wednesday and Thursday, but the Dow soft in here today. Closed down 109 points, 12.5 on the S&P. Those are both over 1%, as was the NASDAQ, down 22 points. One of the little contributing factors, I'd mentioned yesterday that the U.S. market had rallied towards the close on that story coming from Pakistan, and that Pakistani troops had surrounded a, quote, high-value, unquote, terrorist in the Waziristan region. Now, that was thought to be Zawahiri, who is the number two to bin Laden in the Al-Qaeda network. But I noticed today that the Debka file, that's an Israeli internet service, and they're usually quite good on the terrorist activities, as you would expect. And they're saying that this is not Zawahiri of Al-Qaeda, but a tribal chieftain that they've actually surrounded, and that there's going to be embarrassment all around. Now, Wall Street may have picked that up a little bit. I can't be sure about that, but that's the one thing that I noticed. But my feeling is that the best we get from the stock market is an effort, not least by the Bush administration, to keep the market from coming off all that much, try to talk it up a little bit. Certainly the Fed isn't going to be raising interest rates anytime soon. Well, that's my assumption at any rate. And the best we get is some ranging around, although and maybe a retest and slightly above the high. Some of the other analysts, and I posted reports from HSBC, Robin Griffiths, and then the CLSA, Chris Roberts, and his breakout report, both had been looking for a correction in here around this time, and then feel that the market can go quite a bit higher thereafter. I feel that that would be a surprising bonus, that we would get a really worthwhile gain on top of what we already see in here. But again, I'm not panicking out of markets at this stage, but equally, I have no interest in actually increasing my long positions. And in terms of buying any oil shares or buying those energy funds, more likely that I mentioned that I'll be switching money out of something else to do that. Fortunately, some of my high yielders are doing reasonably well in here, so I'm reasonably relaxed about holding on to those a little while longer. Now, in terms of bond markets, I do maintain that the secular bull market, 18 years or so it was, ended in June of last year, and that we are in the right-hand extension phase of a very major top formation for bond prices. Now, when I look at the charts, particularly when I look at some of the long-term charts, point and figure charts of the yields, maybe I'll put some of those up fairly soon. I have had a number of subscribers saying, can we have some point and figure charts on the website, please? And the answer is yes, I will do that. But the charts don't show anything really terribly obvious here in terms of timing. What that means is that I wouldn't be at all surprised if we don't see this ranging activity continue for a while longer in here. But I do think that the next significant move in bond prices is going to be downwards, in other words, up in yields. That may occur. Among the ones that I looked at, when I looked at 10-year yields, the one that seemed firmest here right now was South Africa. Again, that's indicating that the South African bond market is vulnerable to easing from current levels. Okay, moving on to the currency markets. It's very difficult to make extremely long-term forecasts in currencies at the best of times. It's a challenge to make short-term forecasts, although no more challenging than in any of the other markets. But so much depends on psychology in these markets, central bank activity, and suffice it to say that having had the very powerful bull run in the euro, bear run in the US dollar, those trends have actually been interrupted. And I've said, when I look at euro dollar, and I'm looking at that every single day, and I comment on that, in this ranging activity, one day it looks as if, well, maybe the euro is bottomed in here, and then the next day, that was yesterday, that today, you know, here it is, the euro is down a cent, 122.90 on the close, and it looks as if it could easily slip from here. The best thing I can say is that the euro is uptrend and the dollar is downtrend. They have both lost their consistency, and contra-trend reactions are underway. These can easily last for 3 to 6 months. There is no convincing evidence that they're actually over. I felt we had a clue from one of the other markets in the rally in the yen, which is quite strong. Remember, the dollar got up to about 111.5 against the yen, and it's currently at 106.67. And the Japanese are concerned about this, and that was why I went in yesterday and picked up some euro-yen a little above the spot rate of 131. I was concerned yesterday when I mentioned that to you, because when I talked about it, it was just over a yen higher. In other words, euro had rallied, but it's fallen back here today, down 1.25. So you've had an opportunity, those of you who are interested in doing that, if you wanted to establish that position. I don't make recommendations, as you know. I just tell you what I think markets are going to do, and then what I'm actually doing with my own money. But I know that some subscribers are interested in that in specific sectors. And the point is that anybody who was looking at the euro yen additionally will have a chance to get in, has had a chance to get in where I did, and actually a little bit better. And I feel good about that. Now, other currencies, that's pretty much it. Sterling is also in a correction. Sterling was really quite overvalued, but it's got the good yields, so I don't think it'll come down all that much especially as the Bank of England seems to be in no big effort to try to push sterling lower at this stage. But remember, in terms of my long-term view, no central bank wants a hard currency in here. And when the growth begins to fade, and I suspect that will be in 2005, then we will see some more central banks trying to soften their currencies. Okay, now that mention of that though is a nice intro for me to go on to the commodities, and this really is the story, I think, for this year. It was a story last year, but it's an even better story this year. And last year it had more competition, mainly from stock markets, but this year the commodities and mainly the metals have been in a class of their own, and I see no evidence that that's over. But there is an Achilles heel here, and the Achilles heel is this US dollar. So if we get the dollar rallying further, it can easily check some of these trends, but that is a sub-theme. It is not the primary theme, and I really do want to emphasize that the primary theme is that most commodities are coming off historic lows. Okay, they did that a year or more ago, and some of the gains that you see in metals look pretty heady, and some of them we've seen some further accelerations in here very recently. But in terms of the secular trend, I think this is a major bull market in the commodity cycle. It's something we have not seen since the 1970s. And these markets will be volatile from time to time. It's not all going to happen, and we're not going to wrap up a secular bull market in a couple of years, that's for sure. And we will get shakeouts, but this is still the inform area, and it's where I want to concentrate most of my activity. I've said to you before, I'm not clever enough to make money at an acceptable risk-reward ratio in choppy stock markets or in choppy currencies, so I do less there. And in commodities, we've had some fabulous trends, and I wish that I'd held on to more of the positions that I actually had. But even being a big bull in this sector, and fortunately doing quite well out of it, as I know a number of you have, that it's been one of those environments where the holy fool who just held on would have done best of all. But we don't want to get into that type of mindset and behave on that basis, because we know what happens when those trends eventually change. Okay, how about some of these metals in here today? And the dollar's rally tended to rein in some of the gains that we were seeing earlier on. But when I look at the industrial metals, they were still all up on the day. Tin, for instance, that's the one that really got away from me. That was up $90, closing at $7,885. I think that's the eighth or ninth straight day on the upside. But it closed close to $85 off its actual high. Got up to 79.70, and 8,000 is a bit of a psychological resistance level. It has accelerated, so I think that may well pull back. Now, the C2F2 report that I put, that's produced by Investors Intelligence, which is a branch of StockCube, Mark Lowry, who you've heard me mention before. He runs that service more often than not. He's actually got his position in tin still. He'd used a looser stop than I had, and he has warned today that this is now accelerating, and that is an ending characteristic, and it's a jam up stops situation for anybody who's fortunate enough to still be there. I'm holding off in terms of going back into these metal markets at this stage, partly, mainly, I think, because of this dollar activity that I'm still uncertain about. And I'll let a lot of opportunities slip by in preference to doing something foolish. I mean, it doesn't mean I still don't do things foolish or foolish things, but I like to have as many of the odds on my side as I feel I can in terms of the technical background. And that's not the case today with this dollar activity and some of the choppy action that we have seen in the metals recently. So my main holding there still is the palladium. Now, palladium had a little bit of profit taking in here today. The range was 284 to 276, and it closed at 278. So on the lower side, but it was only down 395 on the day. This still looks to me like a consolidation prior to another move on the upside. Gold had dipped, it was quite steady up at 413.30 when the euro was on the higher side of its range today, and then gold slipped down to 408.85 as the dollar rallied, but it then bounced back up and closed at 412.35. Again, I emphasize, of course, that gold is very much in this secular bull market. And the comparison I've used is to say that I think that gold today is where the S&P was in the mid-1980s. So in other words, it's boring most of the time, lots and lots of ranging, but not that much downside risk and big long-term upside potential. But I've also emphasized over and over again that I expect every single other metal to outperform gold, partly primarily because of the inelasticity of supply situation. Central banks are selling gold. There are no central banks that are selling any of the other metals. Now, silver, again, this is silver has been phenomenal in here recently and spiked up to 772. That was a bit of acceleration there. And still closed up nearly 10 on the day. Although well off the high, but at 756, that's still very much an informed chart. The other two white metals, though, platinum and palladium. The palladium has been a little bit soft, following its new highs a week or two ago. It was down 8.7 today at 890, and just getting a little bit of a consolidation here. I'm sure that's caused that pause in palladium. But the main point on these metals, just to emphasize, is that the trends are powerful, the fundamental background is extremely good, and in a credit creation bubble environment as we have among liquid markets, the inelasticity of supply is the key. And that applies to the commodities. And then they're the weather punts. Soybeans up another 6 in here today, so they've been up every day, although well off the high. Now, soybeans had a low today of, this is the May contract, of 1013 and a high of 1034, close at 1024. So holding above that $10 level, and that was quite a major psychological hurdle for soybeans. Corn again steady in here as well, 312, that was unchanged on the day, and off the highs, which is 314 and three quarters. On both of those today, I actually did raise my stops a bit, but I'm not crowding them at this stage. So I'm just hoping that the dollar doesn't rally too much, which would unquestionably pressure those positions. But the main risk to me would be that people overdo the bad weather worries, or that we get stories of somewhat better weather, because it's been the crop problems in Brazil mainly, but also Argentina, that have been responsible for this strength, and of course the terrific demand that's coming from China for soybeans. And the soybeans better than the corn. It's outperformed it, and I think it'll continue to outperform it during this bull run. It's got the backwardation. In other words, there's a shortage of beans for immediate delivery. And there are also delivery problems with a lot of these commodities because of the lack of shipping. Such has been the demand on shipping at a time when a lot of ship owners had been scrapping their ships over the last 10 to 15 years. Okay, that's pretty much it on a bit of a longish audio, and I'll just mention though that the forum, I thought I might release it this week. My deadline for this now, and I think we will be able to meet this, is next Wednesday. I could have released it a little earlier on, but Owen Tracy, who's a colleague who will actually be doing a lot of the work with the forum, has been away for the last 2.5 days, and I wanted to get more content up on the site. That content is mostly reports, and then I hope that when you have a chance to look at that, to when the spirit moves you, that you will send in your own comments to the forum. And now it's just time for me to say, have an absolutely splendid weekend.